about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a few moments, but we invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. Again, Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Verses 25 through 37, Luke chapter 10. Father, we thank you for the wisdom and the counsel of your word which equips us, guides us, and empowers us to be the faithful disciples you've called us to be. Lord, empower us more and more to be a people that are faithful hearers and doers of your word, people who walk in your love, your mercy, and your grace, and your compassion every day as a lifestyle. It's just a part of who we are and how we think as followers of Jesus Christ. Teach us, mold us into vessels of compassion that walk that way every day of our lives. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Let me remind you, we're continuing to be in this important outreach campaign with the ministry Preborn. I want to remind you that over 1.2 million babies are aborted in America each year, tragically. And in the midst of this awful tragedy, there is something the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ can do about it. There are many things we can do. And one is get involved in supporting ministries like the ministry Preborn. This week, Preborn and Urban Family Talk are asking you to partner with us to help moms choose life by providing free ultrasounds. Well, what is Preborn Ministry, you may want to ask? Well, Preborn works with hundreds of Christian pregnancy centers across the U.S., providing life-saving services, including free ultrasounds. The ultrasound allows the mom to hear her baby's heartbeat and to see the precious life inside of her. When that happens, 80% of women, moms, choose life and choose to keep their babies. These centers provide mothers who choose life several very helpful gifts and blessings: maternity and baby clothes, free diapers, car seats, counseling, and so much more. And all these services, again, are provided absolutely free of charge. Preborn has a passion to save unborn babies from abortion and to see women come to Christ. Now, Preborn centers have counseled thousands of women considering abortion, and God has blessed and used them mightily to have awesome results. 33,000 babies have been saved, 69,000 women have heard the gospel, and more than 15,000 have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. Many people don't realize the wonderful work that so many pregnancy clinics do, including much in the way of evangelism, much in the way of discipleship, and much pastoral outreach happens through these wonderful centers. Well, you can get involved by giving and supporting a ministry like Preborn. A gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides free ultrasound sessions reaching 5 women with the message of life. And keep in mind, 100% of what you give will go directly to pregnancy centers providing these free ultrasounds. If you'd like to get involved, we invite you to call this number, 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 877-616-2396, or you can go online and donate. Go to AFR.net. Again, go to AFR.net. You can give through either means if you so desire. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor David Ball. He's the pastor of the Anchor Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. He's been with us before, but it's great to have you back with us, Pastor Ball.
Absolutely. Just enjoy every time that we come together to hear God's Word, discuss God's Word, pray for people, and share what's going on in our region of the world and what God's doing in the kingdom work that's going forth.
Amen. Amen. And as we start, Pastor Ball, you know, some folks may remember you, but a whole lot may not. And then there are those that may not have caught the programs before. But I want to ask if you'll start out by just further introducing yourself and the Anchor Church and share about the great outreach ministries God has led Junior Church to get to start.
Absolutely. Well, for roughly 20 years, my wife gets mad at me. We're at the age now that she doesn't want me rounding up. So let me just say 19, okay?
Okay.
19 years I coached, and 22 mm-hmm. years in our marriage, God just allowed me the opportunity to come in contact with hurting people at various points of life. When you're a public school teacher, a public school coach, a lot of times I wasn't just the coach of these young men, but I was a disciplinarian. I was a support for the moms, a lot of single moms. They were doing everything they can with these young men. And you also begin to experience and you begin to learn that we really do not have, you know, everybody says kids nowadays. You know, I don't think it's kids nowadays. I think it's parents nowadays is actually the issue. And so I began to see that. I saw kids that were being raised in environments that were just so devastating.
Mm. And toxic environments.
Yeah, toxic environments. And so with that, I believe God always grows us to act. But before we ever act, our heart has to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then we become compassionate about a topic or something that's going on, and that drives us to be passionate. I believe passionate people do the ministry. I really mm-hmm. honestly do. I think a lot of people that are unconcerned, they might help from afar, but I'm talking about getting your hands dirty. I'm talking about getting in ministry. There has to be a passion for that. And so what was happening with me is through all of these years of dealing with some devastating situations and watching marriages come unraveled, right, and watching the impact that marriage and that divorce had on the young men that were playing for me, mm-hmm. all of those events took place, and what I began to see in my spirit and in my heart that something has to be done. My heart was broken. One of my dear friends, he got caught up in the success of finance. He loved athletics, a big Alabama fan. I'm a big Alabama fan. Our hearts are a little aching this morning after a loss this week. Mm-hmm. But with the people that I was around, we loved sports, we loved athletics, and we spent time with it. But he was very successful in the business world and made a lot of money. And when he did, you could see it change him. Joseph, I saw right before my eyes where he began to dabble in drugs. He became unfaithful in his marriage, and I was a dear friend teaching Sunday school at this time, coaching, and he loved to go with me to scout. He loved to go to games, road games with us, and I watched him go into this drug use. I watched drugs rip his marriage apart and eventually take him in an overdose. Mm. And from that, God just broke my heart to the point I was sitting there going, something has to be done. And I would go inside our churches in Mississippi and in Alabama, the churches that I attended, and I would look at this huge facility and I, you know, millions of dollars that would spend on these beautiful places of worship. And I would sit there and I would look around at hundreds of people that would come and worship together. And I was just wondering, what impact are we having on the world outside these walls? Mm-hmm. It's almost like we're creating not a church, but a castle that we can pull up the drawbridge and we can protect ourselves from the evil that's in the world. When mm-hmm. God intends us to be light in darkness, when God intends us to be salt in this world, we've kind of withdrawn from it out of fear of what's going on around us instead of boldly carrying the gospel into a lost and dying world. And so mm-hmm. from that, God grew me to the point that he just point blank asked me, David, do you love me? And I said, yes, Lord, I love him. It was kind of one of those Peter moments. I said, God, I love you, yes. He said, I want you to give up coaching. Well, coaching was something I loved doing. I was good at it. And I was like, do you love me more than coaching? And I said, yes, Lord, I love you more. You sound like my wife. Wait a minute now, guy. I love you more than coaching. He said, prove it. I want you to walk away from it. I want you to come serve me full time. Now, my dad was a pastor for 50 years, and I saw ministry firsthand. I don't mind preaching the gospel. Matter of fact, I'd go to Baghdad right now and preach on the street corner until they cut my head off, but I really didn't want to be a pastor. That's dangerous. And so I just said, wait a minute, I'll serve you, God, but listen, I don't want this hazardous work like being a pastor of a congregation. And so from that heart, broken heart, I realized something needed to be done. And so I said, okay, God, if I'm going to pastor, my fleece moment was I want to do something supernatural that man can't explain. I don't want to babysit a congregation. I don't want to just grow a building. I don't want to grow a congregation in number. If it grows, I want it to be the salvation of souls. And Steve Gaines, as pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church, made this comment to me that really sunk in deep. He said, God called us to be fishers of men, and we become keepers of aquariums. And I realized that's exactly what he's describing in the church nowadays. Rarely do churches grow by the salvation of souls. Churches grow because we're the new thing in town. We've got the best worship team in town. We've got the best show in town. And so people just flock to what's new, and so they'll come and they'll attend. But as far as the church making an impact in the world, that's what's missing. And so that's what God awakened us to. And from there, God grew us, and over a period of time, we've ended up in the congregation that we're at right now, a brand new church plant. I say brand new, 5 years in the making at the Anchor Church. And the purpose of our existence there is to bring help, hope, and healing to hurting people. And those hurting people are the ones that I was seeing as a coach from the inside. I saw so much. A pastor, you don't get to experience a lot of those things. People want to hide the dirty laundry from you. But when you're a coach, man, they'll share it with you. Now you got to ask your question, why? Why will people not share with the church the things they're struggling with? Because they're afraid of the condemnation that comes from the church so many times. Not every church. I don't want to lump this. The church is an easy target. You know what I mean? We can attack the church and not feel like we're attacking anybody personally. But at the same time, I believe there's some failures in the church that need to be addressed. And what we started to address is to get outside the walls and become the church and minister to the hurting people. So what we started doing, we began by identifying what was not being done in our area. What are things that are not being done? At that time, there was not one faith-based organization that was dealing with drug and alcohol abuse in North Mississippi. And so since— Not a single one at the time. Now, there's been several that have popped up since then. There's been several what we would call, you know, in terms, a halfway house, a place where people can go and get on their feet after they've been in jail or incarcerated at a time or been through addiction. But I'm talking about people that are addressing the issue of addiction. And so I said, wait a minute, I'm not smart enough to create a program like this. And through the work of a young lady that was in a mission school that was from our church, I got in touch with Jim Miner in Sarasota, Florida, in the Harvest House there, and they do incredible ministry. He's been there for over 28 years in ministry, and this was one of the things that he started, and that's where we began. I don't believe God wants us as churches to reinvent the wheel. He just wants us to find where he's at work and get in on it. You know, Henry Blackaby's study, Experiencing God. It's what he teaches. You know, God's at work all around us. What we need to do is find where he is at work. And
I'm going to jump in right here and want you to pick up on the other side of the break here. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest, in-studio guest, is Pastor David Ball, the pastor of Anchor Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. We'll be right back.
Hey, do you want to go on a vacation with a purpose? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. A lot of people love to go to the beach. I'm one of them. How about the mountains? Yeah, a lot of folks are raising their hand right now when I say the mountains. Well, this year, why don't you go with us on a spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and have a vacation with an educational and a spiritual purpose. If you'd like to go with us in June or September to D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, we'd love to have you join us. Just find out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will join us as our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way on our rich Christian heritage here in the U.S. We hope you can join us, spiritualheritagetours.com.
This whole idea of, I'm an independent woman, I got me, I got this, is not something a woman of God should say, or any believer for that matter. Today's society is so focused on self-indulgence that seeking the Lord and His will is so last decade. A life full of purpose and blessings can only occur for those who are like Jesus. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he tells the Lord, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, "There are many plans in a person's mind, but it is the counsel of the Lord which will stand." The thing is, a fulfilled life is one who seeks the Creator of life. To sum it up, don't go after your dreams. Go after what God has called you to do. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com. This new season I'm in, I have the awesome privilege of speaking to teens about abstinence. One day we got on abortion, and I explained to the group of girls it's murder and how every child is a gift from God. I had a few girls to come up with every excuse why it's okay to abort. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, because He will lead you with just the right thing to say. I emphasized to the girls on counseling with a Christian advisor and the option of adoption. After class, many of the girls were interacting with me about various things that were discussed that day. One quiet girl summoned me over and whispered in my ear, "I was adopted." Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Those who confess Jesus as Lord have been adopted into the kingdom of God. For a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com. Thank you.
The music of Adam and Tara Lowry, the song Give Your Life to God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Let me remind you, I'd like to encourage every listener, if you would, please go to our Facebook page, urbanfamilytalk.com, and subscribe. We'd appreciate if you do that. And also want to remind you, too, that we do have free mobile apps for your iPhone and Android devices. Go to your app store and search Urban Family Talk, and that way you can take Urban wherever in the whole wide world you might go. Also, we encourage you to go to our Facebook page, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live as well. If you do that, we would really, really appreciate it. We are in the midst of a campaign working alongside the ministry Preborn. And once again, it's a ministry called Preborn. We in Urban Family are asking you to partner with us to help moms choose life by providing free ultrasounds for them. Preborn, again, is working with lots and lots of Christian pregnancy centers across the country, providing life-saving services such as free ultrasounds, amongst others. So I want to remind you, too, that if you'd like to get involved, simply send your gift of a gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, who's seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life as well. And keep in mind that 100% of your donations will go directly to pregnancy centers providing these ultrasounds for these moms. To get involved, call 1-877-616-2396. Again, 1-877-616-2396, or go online to AFR.net. We're grateful to have with us today in studio Pastor David Ball. And Pastor Ball, as we start off, if you would, as we start this next segment, if you would pray specifically for our listeners to really grasp the vision, to really understand the work the church is called to that you're talking about.
Absolutely. Okay. Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, through your shed blood at Calvary, we boldly walk into the throne room right now and request that you would just reach your arms around the listeners. And God, allow them to hear you speak to their heart so that we will be aware of all the pain that's around us, so that we will recognize that those chance encounters are not simply chance encounters, but they're God incidents that you have created as an opportunity for us to shine a light in the darkness.
Thank you, Lord.
And to carry your love into a hurting world. So God, right now, make us aware of that hurting world, and not only making us aware, but God, as we look and as we see those things, will we determine what it is that you are asking of us particularly, not just simply being stirred, but being stirred to action. And so, God, we won't just hear your word, but we'll act in obedience. And I ask you right now, speak directly to those listening, to those that are on air right now watching. God, I pray that they would experience you and your tangible presence in their life speaking to them, and they would respond accordingly. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Paul. You know, I would mention, you know, I read the parable of the Good Samaritan earlier, and, you know, I think that speaks powerfully to what you're talking about, in that, like, there in that parable you see the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. And, of course, the priest and the Levite, they represent the frills of the church. They have the titles but not the heart.
Exactly.
Whereas the Samaritan, he doesn't have the title, but he's got the heart of what God is calling the church to be. So,
yeah, but when I was a coach, I would go into a lot of different churches and speak and preach into the youth groups, do youth revivals and those kind of things. And everywhere I went, every church I went, and at one time I was keeping up with the different churches, I'd go and what I shared so I wouldn't duplicate when I went back. And it was over 35 churches in just this surrounding area here in North Mississippi that I'd gone into. And I don't care what denomination, I don't care what church it was, there is a remnant that is hungry for the Lord inside every house of believers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it might not be in a large number, but there's a remnant of people that are hungry, not just to hear from God, but to act and to serve Him in obedience to Him. And that's basically what God has been leading us to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God grew us. We were talking about that before when my heart got ready to be obedient completely, just complete surrender to the Lord. And that looks different for different people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But for me, God knew, and the rich young man, he was a rich man, and God said, one thing you lack, you've got to sell you know, everything that you own and give it to the poor, and then you can come follow me. It wasn't that God says we ought to all sell everything, but that was the one thing that meant the most to him. Right. And right now that was above God to him. Mm-hmm. To me, coaching and being successful as a coach and winning the championship, winning that state title, that was driving me and my purpose. And God knew that had to go so that he could create inside of me a new driving purpose that is led by his Spirit. And so when that happened, man, we just started being obedient and doing what God had called us to do. And as we acted in obedience to what God called us to do, he would grow us. And it was one step at a time. It wasn't this huge, you know, yes, there's a vision. Yes, there's 9 facilities that God wants us to build that will help us minister to hurting people. Yes, all of these things are to come. But God said, just take this step right now.
One step at a time.
And we'd take that step and then look around, and God would provide for that step. And then we'd take the next step and the next step and the next step. And the first step for me was getting a congregation around us that would undergird these ministries and be faithful to follow God and to minister in these ministries. And then God said, this is bigger than you. We move into a church that seats 240 people. We're already full. We don't have room to grow as a church, and we're not looking to build a building. Mm-hmm. We're looking to build a kingdom. And that's because God says, first, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build the kingdom, and I'll grow a church around the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And instead of building the church and then trying to allow God to grow the kingdom around the church. And so what we want to do is we started doing that. And here's how God taught us. This is a story I've told before, but this is how God taught us. I didn't know what this was going to look like at all. Mm-hmm. I just said, okay, God, let's do this. Let's go minister to hurting people. And I mentioned Steve Gaines earlier. I sat down with him for a long time. I went through a difficult thing in ministry. And I sat down with him, and he just ministered to me while we were talking. And one of the things he said, you know why people aren't more evangelical? And I said, why is that, brother? And he said, because baby Christians have dirty diapers. And the church has got a grandparent mentality. You know what I mean? We've already changed our diapers. It's time for somebody else to change diapers. And so we send them back to the parents when diapers need to be changed as grandparents. And God says, man, there's a lot of dirty diapers. I mean, children make messes, and baby Christians make a mess. And that's just what baby Christians do. They're learning to walk with God, they're struggling figuring it out. That's why the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so when God started sending people to us, man, he was sending people that didn't look churchy. They didn't speak Christianese. You know, they didn't sound churchy. And it was unique. And I remember one time when a young man just walks in on Wednesday night that was working, and he came in, and he just walked in my office with one of our members, and our member had changed out his windshield, who had gotten shattered, and he was getting it fixed. And so we just were talking. He began to share his testimony. I said, look, I'm going to go teach, but as soon as I get through, I want to hear your whole testimony, because this sounds interesting. I didn't know the story, and I went in and sat down in a Wednesday night service. You know, Wednesday night we teach the Word of God, right? We preach on Sunday morning, but on Wednesday night we open God's Word and we study God's Word, and it's a little bit different environment sometimes. And so we were teaching the Word, and I was teaching about the change and the transformation that takes place in Romans 12:1-2. And I got to the part about not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. This young man stood straight up in the front row. He was sitting on the front row. Never forget it. Stood straight up in the front row and started pumping his fist in the air and shouting at the top of his lungs, praise Jesus. That's what happened to me. Praise Jesus. That's what. Well, it just disrupted everything. I gave him a few minutes just to worship and to thank God. We got through. We finished with the Word. And so it was just a wonderful time. I sat down with him afterwards and began to tell me his story. And his story was, he was a money launderer for the drug for the cartel, and he was caught with $500,000 and 10 pounds of marijuana. He was sentenced with money laundering and sent to the federal prison. And God saved him in Memphis. An elderly black lady, it was shared with her. It was his whole story. She was a beautiful woman. I could hear her sharing the gospel with him. He got saved. She laid hands on him, prayed for him. And I mean, it was a beautiful time. And he told me about that. And then later he got released. He served 10 months of a 20-year sentence. In federal time, you do it. You know, so this is unusual. He don't even know why he's out. Doesn't even know where he is. He walks into him and he says, man, he said, let me tell you a story now. And let me tell you what God did, okay? I got to back up, and I'm going to, you know, how Paul Harvey says the rest of the story. Right. Well, it was a couple of weeks earlier, actually about a month earlier, that a lady called me and says, Pastor David, I need to talk to Coach Ball. That's a running joke. A lot of times people don't want to talk to a pastor, and then they'll say, I need to talk to Coach Ball. And I say, okay, mm-hmm. I understand. I laughed, and I said, okay, what you got? And she said, well, one of my nieces is having a hard time, and she's been in prostitution. She's, you know, high-priced call girl. She's done a lot of the work, and all these things were taking place in her life. And will you talk to her? I went to a Mexican restaurant, shared faith with her. She accepts Christ as a personal Savior and gets saved in a restaurant here in town. Uh-huh. And just a beautiful, beautiful story. And she, and then I called two ladies in our church, because God didn't call us to just see people saved. He called us to disciple people.
That's right.
So mm-hmm. the work's just begun when somebody makes Christ their personal Lord and Savior. So she looks at me, and we begin to talk. And I said, I'm going to put two ladies in your life. These two ladies begin to disciple her and teach her, mm-hmm. and she began to grow in her faith. And she told me later, she's having a hard time. Why? Because I'm having a hard time letting go of the money. Because she had a sugar daddy in her life, basically, is what he was. And he was providing for an incredible lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And she was having a hard time letting go of that. Now, can I be transparent with you listeners out there right now? And let mm-hmm. me tell you what's going on, okay? And this is Pastor David for just a second. I'm going to be transparent, and I'm going to let you know that sometimes pastors can be idiots, okay? And mm-hmm. and this is my idiotic moment, all right? So I just, in my spirit, I was enraged that this man was keeping her from going on with the Lord in her faith.
Whoever
this sugar daddy was. Mm-hmm. I'm enraged right now. So I go in the sanctuary, and I'm walking all over the sanctuary praying out mm-hmm. loud. And I'm just, and this is my prayer. This mm-hmm. was my literal prayer. God, kill him. In the name of Jesus, kill him. Take him out. Drive-bys happen all the time. Let this joker die. This daughter of yours needs the new life. And God, he's wrecking her, and it needs to be stopped right now. Mm-hmm. And so then I get through my little fit that I pitched in before God. And then now I got to get you back to this young man that I'm sitting with. And he says to me, he says, you know what? I've lost my girlfriend and my kids, and I want them back. Let me show you a picture. And he reaches in his Bible, and he pulls out a picture, and this is that young lady.
Mm. So it was the two of them had come at separate times.
At separate times. And God, and then in my spirit, it was like the Lord said, now, son, I know you wanted me to kill him, but I just thought I'd save him and send him to you to disciple. Is that okay with you? And it just wrecked me. I was like, man, there's people that we look at that are not fixable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're incorrigible. They can't be fixed. And we discard them. And the church won't walk across the street to minister to them because the way they talk, the way they look. You know, when these people come to church, they're still cussing. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're like, put our hands over our mouth? We teach them, look, what I notice mm-hmm. is when they get in the Word and they start walking with Jesus, mm-hmm. their vocabulary changes.
That's right.
The way they look changes.
The Spirit of God starts working on them.
He starts working on you. We want to work on them before mm-hmm. the Spirit of God does. Mm-hmm. You know, we want the Spirit of Pastor David to change people instead of the Spirit of God. And so God really changed our mindset about what ministry looks like. Mm-hmm. And look, you're going to get your hands dirty. There's going mm-hmm. to be people that are struggling. And God told me, I want you to render, this is what Jim Miner said to me when in Sarasota, Florida. He said, that lawyer that tried to trap Jesus, what'd he say? Mm-hmm. He said, whose face is on that coin? Well, Caesar's. He said, well, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, mm-hmm. and unto God the things that are God's. And what I realized in that message was, we are to render. Render is a word that actively means to remove from location, to change its location and move it to someplace else. Mm-hmm. And so we realize that when God says, render unto him the things that bear his image, only one thing in this nasty world bears his image, and that's his children. Mm-hmm. We bear his image. So we are to render God's children, these hurting people that are struggling in desperate need of help, take them out of the environment and the situation they're in, and put them in a new situation where they can experience the love of Jesus and be discipled and grow in their faith.
Mm-hmm. We're going to stop right there and pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Pastor David Ball. We'll be right back.
I'm Toni Johnson inviting you to join me for Toni's Praise Party. It's the perfect opportunity for you to get your praise on any way you want. It's toe-tapping, hand-clapping gospel music that will stir up your spirit. And you'll get news that concerns you and information about your favorite artist along the way. Toni's Praise Party, Saturday morning at 6, again Saturday evening at 6, Sunday afternoon at 4, and Monday morning at 4. Find out more and connect with me at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, "The sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do." In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for His service. Join the movement at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Dr. Toni Evans says God is sovereign. He rules, controls, and sustains His creation. So where do luck and chance fit in? We'll find out today as we spend 2 minutes with Toni.
What you and I and others may look at as random events are actually orchestrated events in the purpose and plan of God. Let's put it another way. This mysterious thing called providence means God is sitting behind the steering wheel of history. And sometimes He's on the main highway, other times He's driving down back alleys. Sometimes it looks like He's going the wrong way on a one-way street. But He's steering the steering wheel of history to arrive at a destination. Now let's get this straight. Sovereignty and His providence, how He hooks things up, is not merely related to the big things that happen. See, we look at the big things and we say, well, either God was in it or God wasn't in it because it was a big, because it affected me greatly. Sovereignty is so complete and providence is so intricate that God includes the details. That's why Matthew 10 says that God knows every hair that's on your head and when it comes out. And He says He knows every sparrow that falls out of a tree. Now, I know you like to think the devil is in the details, but God says, I'm in the details. Because sovereignty covers everything, and providence is how He hooks the everything up in order to arrive at His specific purpose.
Dr. Evans has an extensive collection of messages online, something to speak to any need. Browse our library today by visiting TonyEvans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Toni.
To those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know Him. We've been mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing for Jesus after all He's done just for me. And I tell you that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And oh, I'm not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give you my life. See, Lord, I'm ready to be
music of Brenda Lowe, the song I Am Not Ashamed of the Gospel. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. Reminding you once again that we are involved this week in encouraging you to get involved with supporting this powerful ministry called Preborn. Help Urban Family partner with Preborn, asking you to help us to help moms choose life by providing free ultrasounds for them. Remember, Preborn works with hundreds of Christian pregnancy centers across the nation, providing life-saving services such as free ultrasounds and other things as well. And Preborn centers have counseled thousands of women considering abortion, helping many of them to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, and saved lots and lots, over thousands of babies as well. So if you'd like to get involved, simply remember a gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life as well. And all that you give, 100%, goes towards that concern. Simply call 1-877-616-2396. Again, 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online and donate at AFR.net. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor David Ball, the pastor of Anchor Church here in Tupelo. And Pastor Ball, would you pick up where you left off as you continue to share about just the work that you and your fellowship are doing?
Well, God really, through the young man and others just like him that we were seeing saved, God began to reveal the need in our area at that time, especially.
A lot of broken people.
And what we realized is if we leave people in the environment that they're in, then what would happen is, that Chinese, water torture, so to speak, they're staying in that environment. The constant pull of the enemy back into that world is there. Mm-hmm. So what God was showing us, what rendering was picking them up out of the environment they're in, placing them in a safe environment where they can be discipled and grow in their faith and get back on their feet and then be planted back in the world as a missionary for the gospel. That's a process, mm-hmm. right? It's not an instantaneous act. It's a process. And so what God began to do is reveal the need for facilities. And the first facilities that came about was the Transformation Ranch and the Transformation Home.
Those are two different homes that you have now.
Two different facilities that we have. The Transformation Ranch houses 30 guys, and it ministry to drug addiction and alcohol addiction. And the Transformation Home is for women. The reason why we chose those names is, guys, when they're running on the end, they can rest anywhere, they can sleep anywhere, just as long as they have a safe place. Women need a home experience, and so you really need a home environment for women to heal in through their addiction. So we didn't create a dorm-style setting for the women. We created a home for the women. The men's more dorm-like, and, guys with bunk beds and stuff that are in there. Mm-hmm. But it's growing to the point now that we felt like God wanted to expand. We have a vision of 9 different facilities that we mm-hmm. eventually want to get to. But right now, God said just one at a time. As he provides, God just, give these. So we started with the ranch and the home, and right now we're in the process. We bought 56 acres, and we're not building a church on that property right now. Eventually that will come, but right now God intended for us to begin to build a 6,000 square foot facility so that we can minister to 40 more men.
Well, Pastor Ball, let me jump in here and say this. Now, my guess is some of our listeners, some of them are probably thinking to themselves, I've never heard of a church that did that before, but that sounds like what the whole church is supposed to do. How would you respond to that?
It is. It mm-hmm. is. Along the way, our theology became more important than our God. Mm-hmm. Our belief systems became, and we will defend our theology, we will defend it, but what we do is we lack in certain. Now listen, when I say these statements, I'm speaking as a whole. Right. I know there are churches that know the ministry, and every church has ministries that they're doing, and they're doing it well. But what I mean is not the inward ministry of ministering to our members. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the outward ministry of seeing that our members become impassioned to minister to people outside the walls. Mm-hmm. And that should be the goal. the purpose of the church is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And God said the ministry, and when he said all law can be hung on these two, love God with every ounce of your being and love your neighbor as yourself. And that was kind of the illustration that you gave, that Jesus used, that parable that he used to demonstrate, he, you know, that was not a church member laying on the side of the road.
Right.
You know, somebody outside the church walls that was hurting in need. And the embodiment of the church is to drive by, mm-hmm. you know, and to these hurting people and pray, God, send somebody. You know, we'll drive by. And what I realized God was teaching us is this is bigger than us. This is bigger than the Anchor Church. This is not about the Anchor Church. It's about the kingdom work that God wants to accomplish in the city of Tupelo.
You know, Pastor Bob, ideally what I think should happen is, and this would be true for the Tupelo community, but any community, when you have maybe maybe one or two church fellowships that are really getting into the nitty-gritty work of really doing this kind of ministry, reaching out and, you know, forming ministries that have facilities that can house people and help people. The need is for every church in that community to come alongside and to give their prayer support, their financial support, because, in other words, if every church doesn't have their own facility like that, which typically is not the case, you can help.
Yeah.
But getting involved with ministries that really help people where the need, where the rubber meets the road and where the real needs of people are.
Imagine what would be accomplished if every church, let's just use Tupelo, we won't say North Mississippi, but every church in Tupelo area that believes that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one goes to the Father except through him. Mm-hmm. That if we can just agree on that verse alone, forget the theology of everybody's doctrines and faith and belief system, but what if we just agreed, every church that agrees on that statement, mm-hmm. that is the centrality of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, he came, he bled, he died, you know, and if everybody, every church that believed that came together to address these issues that are in our community, imagine what could be accomplished. And that is exactly what we are experiencing at the mm-hmm. Anchor Church. Those remnant that I was speaking of are hearing about what's going on, and they're getting involved. Mm-hmm. First Baptist Church, Corinth, that's not right in the Tupelo area, that's north, about 40 minutes north of us, Brother Dennis. That church is a very mission-minded church. They've mm-hmm. given to missions and send missionaries and church members all over the world and missions, but Brother Dennis was, and his congregation was beginning to speak and teach about local missions. Mm-hmm. And what happened was several of their members just got wind of what's going on here. They have partnered with us. I tell people all the time, they're not our right hand. They're the right and left and probably both feet mm-hmm. of our ministry, because mm-hmm. they've come alongside and are providing so much that our little congregation of 200 people really can't provide. There's mm-hmm. so much more. These facilities, right now at the end of this month, I'm going to Cuba. When I get back from Cuba, I'm going to be going to Lexington, Kentucky. There's a ministry up there that deals with women that have been sex trafficked. That's one of our facilities we're about to build. When mm-hmm. we move into this building, we're going to take the existing building we have. We're moving our drug and alcohol program into the new building that we're building on the 54 acres, a 6,000 square foot facility that we're just now building. And when we get that finished, we're going to take the other, it's going to be our ER program. Mm-hmm. ER program is an early release program. People that have been in prison and jail and just made bad decisions, maybe not an addiction, but they've just made some wrong turns, and they need help getting on their feet. They need help being taught and trained how to manage their money, getting them, because all of our programs are based on work, are called work programs. They're mm-hmm. all central truth is that, hey, we eat by the sweat of our brow, that we need to make a way. These guys have been living off of other people and their addictions, and now it's time to get a job, go to work, and make a way for themselves. And that's what we do in our program. And I'm telling you, we're beginning to see other churches and other pastors here locally. I've gotten to know several men of God in this town that love the Lord, and they're trying to lead their congregations outside the walls. And mm-hmm. we're looking at partnering on some of these facilities down the road mm-hmm. as we build them a homeless facility that's going to house people that are homeless currently, getting them jobs, getting a social worker that can sit down with them and help them get educated and receive the help that they need so they can get on their feet, get their own facility, and get back going in the right direction. I love watching the church come together. And I don't the community, the church, you know, the fellowship. If we get all these pastors together and that remnant together, what could we accomplish? That's what we're looking at.
Well, just real quick, like if someone listening is thinking to themselves, well, I want to join a church like that, or I want to come visit.
It's dangerous.
I want to visit, or I want to just give financially. If somebody says, well, I want to help with the vision, at least I want to send a donation, how would they send a donation to help with all the outreach that you're doing?
The director of our Grace and Mercy Ministries, which includes all of these ministries that we're doing, is a man by the name of Warren Seavey. Mm-hmm. He's a godsend. His heart is for this. He grew up in an alcohol environment that God freed him from. And he is great in the organizational skills, and he has just been perfect for us. And what we use his phone mm-hmm. as our contact, and I can give that number to you.
Okay.
It is 662-401-1369, 662-401-1369. And that's Grace and Mercy Ministry, and that's a way to contact him. And you say, hey, I want to help. How can I help? And he can kind of talk. He can get you in contact with me. And then we, if you want to come by the church and just look and see, I can take you to the ranch, take you to the property that we're looking at. The lake was built out there by a man of God. And I won't give his name because I don't want him to get bombarded with a lot of phone calls, want him to duplicate that. But basically, he put the equipment on that property, and mm-hmm. another contractor that works with him put one of his pieces of equipment on that property mm-hmm. and built an 8-acre lake mm-hmm. and built the footing that we're going to build on mm-hmm. For this new facility, and didn't charge us a dime. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of blessings that God has given. When you step out by faith, and our little church is just stepping out by faith, and God is just bringing other churches, other pastors alongside of us, and it's beautiful to watch what God is doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor Paul, again, it's powerful, really. You've shared you've covered a lot of ground just a few minutes on the broadcast today. As we draw our time to close, would you pray for our listeners to really grasp the need for the church to really understand that we are the church.
Yeah.
We're to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ, showing them what the love of God looks like, the grace and the mercy and the compassion of Christ, and we're called to live that out. Would you pray for our listeners?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, your book of Joel comes to my mind right now as I think about your cry to us, where you say, awaken, yes, where the simple Jesus. Call for us to awaken. We look around and we complain about everything that's going on around us, but God, it is us that have gone quiet. You have given all authority under heaven and earth. You've given in your name through your shed blood at Calvary. And we have the authority to walk into the darkness and present the light, and the darkness will dissipate. It will disappear. The lightness overrides the dark 100% of the time. So God, my prayer this morning is that you would awaken the church, the sleeping giant. And God, may we step forward with the authority that you have given us to proclaim your word to a lost and dying world. May we come out from behind the walls of the church. May we come from out behind the moat and the drawbridge mentality. And may we walk in authority into the world. May we walk into the enemy's camp and take those that are in bondage and see them set free and walking in their faith. God, we know you are a God to do it, and we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Ball, for being with us today.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. My privilege.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk.
Urban Family Talk.